Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
I wanted to start off just by beginning to talk about something here. Have you ever witnessed something or seen something or held an opinion that nobody else seemed to believe in or hold themselves? Have you ever sat there and you're like, no, I know that this thing is true, but everyone around, it's like nobody in the world believes the same thing that you do. I'm going to give you kind of a humorous example of that. I remember years ago, I watched this television series called Firefly. And it was just an amazing television series. I couldn't believe how good it was, and yet it only made it one season. And so I thought, well, am I the only person around here that thinks that this deserved a second season, that this was a phenomenal television show? And after a while, you're going around and you start to doubt yourself. You know, it's been a while, you haven't met anybody else that likes it, and you're thinking, okay, so maybe I'm the only person who held that opinion. Maybe I need to go back and watch it again, because maybe it isn't actually as good as I thought it was. And I remember then I was talking about something, and Firefly came up, and I mentioned it, and the person across from me, their eyes just lit up, and they were like, I love Firefly. It's an amazing show. And in that moment, I suddenly realized that, no, it wasn't that I was crazy, that I misremembered something, but no, this television show was just so enjoyable and so fun, and it did deserve a second season. And I now had proof, because there was another person in the world who believed the same thing I did. I know that one's kind of okay, Pastor Stephen, yes, a television show. Congratulations, you found other people that like the same TV show that you did. But, you know, I think it comes down to the same thing in life, too. In that when we believe something, but we feel like we're the only ones that believe it, we're never around people that can affirm that within us, we begin to doubt ourselves. We begin to wonder, am I crazy? And this type of stuff, it happens all the time. It happens with technology, right? I mean, those of you here that use a PC instead of a Mac, you know, as the numbers of Mac users rise up higher and higher and higher, and they become louder and louder and louder, there's a chance that you probably feel like you must be crazy because you still use a PC, right? Nobody's with me on that one. Another example would be, you know, you're going around and you believe something strongly. You believe it with all of your heart. But nobody that you're with, you know, you rarely hang out with people that can affirm that in you, that can share that belief with you. And it seems like everywhere you go, everyone that you meet, your entire life is surrounded by people who tell you that you're crazy, who live in a way completely opposite to the way that you live, who just make it seem like you're crazy for believing the things that you believe, for doing the things that you do or not doing the things that you do. I mean, if you're here today and you follow Jesus, you've probably found that a lot of people think that you're crazy when you tell them, well, I'm not going to that movie because it has some stuff in it I'm not comfortable with. Or when you tell them, you know what, I don't feel like going to that party because I just don't think that there's going to be anything worthwhile going on there. Or whatever it is, whatever your example may be, when suddenly you're not doing the things that you used to do or that everyone around you is doing. Or, you know, they're believing one way and you believe another. You know, you can relate it to politics even. You know, if you're... I almost said a Democrat. That tells you how much American politics interests us up here more than Canadian politics does. But sure, let's go with that. If you're a Democrat living with a bunch of Republicans, after a while you might start to feel like you're crazy. Or not. But the same thing holds true for our faith. You know, if we never are around people who encourage us, who build us up, then our faith is going to have a hard time growing. It's going to have a hard time staying strong. You see, our faith, it's not necessarily the strongest thing in the world because we're people. We're social people. And here in North America, we've created this idea that faith is individualistic, that it's carried out in a vacuum. You know, what you believe is great, but that's what you believe. Just don't talk about it with anybody else and just keep it to yourself. Keep it in that corner of your life. But you've heard me say time and time again, if you've been with us for a while, that our faith in Jesus Christ is not just a little thing at the top of our to-do list or that's on our calendar somewhere in the corner, but that it should be at the central part of everything that we do. Everything that you do should stem from that relationship you have with Jesus. It defines who you are. It takes every other identity that you may hold dear in your life and obliterates it, and your identity then becomes in Christ. That is who you are when you follow Jesus. But the interesting thing is in this world that we live in day-to-day life, you know, we can come out of church and we're like, yes, I am in Christ. This is awesome. I'm going to go out and I'm going to share the love of Jesus with the world. And then Monday comes, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and the next Sunday comes around, and you're like, you know what, I'm tired, I'm skipping this. And, you know, a week turns into 2 weeks, turns into a month, turns into 2 months, and next thing you know, Jesus, this guy that you were so intent on making the central part of your being and basing your identity off of, he just begins to become something on the periphery. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Whatever that means. Because our faith is fragile and it needs to be built up. Today, the main thing I want you to remember today is that fit fellowship fuels our fragile faith. Yes, I had fun with alliteration. It's like it's the sixth grade. But remember this, fit fellowship fuels our fragile faith. Why don't you say that with me? I mean, it just begs for everybody to say it out loud. So why don't you know you want to? Come on. Fit fellowship fuels our fragile faith. Our faith is fragile. It slips away very easily as we come up against things and as we isolate ourselves from others, from fit fellowship. And so that's what we're going to talk about here today is this faith that we have, the importance of our faith and the importance of healthy community, of fit fellowship in our walk with Jesus. Will you join me in a word of prayer before we continue on here today? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can gather together and build one another up, that we can fuel this faith that we are all trying to walk in and live in, Lord Jesus. And as we read today's passage in Hebrews 3, Lord, I ask that you will just show us things in this passage. And even if there's something you want to highlight to us today that isn't something that I prepared, Lord Jesus, will you just go ahead and do that? Will you bring to life this text, Lord Jesus? And God, I pray that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And so for the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about the book of Hebrews. And if you were with me here this 2 weeks ago, you heard me talk about that this is a sermon. And so it's kind of weird that we're digging in and we're breaking down someone's sermon from 2,000 years ago. But that's what we're doing. See, this pastor, he was out of town. He couldn't get to his congregation, but he hears that they're drifting away from their faith. He hears that, you know, things have been difficult, that these Jewish believers, these converts to Christianity, that they're kind of slipping away. They're going, you know, it would just be easier to go back to Judaism. It would just be easier if we didn't have to, you know, go out and witness to people. If we didn't have these differences, then everyone could just get along and life would be so much easier. And so he writes this message. And the first week we talked about how the pastor here, he says that Hebrews, he talks about how Jesus is the ultimate word in Hebrews. He says that the prophets had words, but that Jesus brought this ultimate revelation and we need to listen to it. And then last week we talked about how Jesus is greater than death. He's greater than death. He's greater than our anxieties. He's greater than our worries. That even when we worry about, you know, what's around the corner, what's going to happen when this life is over, he says, listen, I defeated death. My death and resurrection, it defeated death. So follow me and live an eternal life with me. And so this week, the author of Hebrews, he writes about how Jesus is greater than Moses. And we're going to explain today, we're going to look at how Jesus being greater than Moses fits into this idea that fit fellowship fuels our fragile faith. And so will you turn in your Bibles with me or in your mobile device, ascc.life, or just follow along on the screen behind me. We're going to read this together in just a second here. This is what the author of Hebrews writes. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of the testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. See, to us, when the author of Hebrews brings up Moses, it might seem a little bit weird. Because to us as Christians, we go, okay, so Moses is a guy, you know, there's just a couple, he's written about in a couple books of the Bible. You know, he seems like a guy that kind of lost his temper. He killed somebody. Like, what's so great about this guy? Why is he comparing Jesus to, of course, Jesus is better than Moses. I mean, do they have a hole in their head or something? Why on earth do they need to know this? But what we need to understand is he's writing to people who came to Christianity from Judaism. And to the Jews, Moses is like a superhero. He's a phenomenal guy. He's the ultimate prophet. He saw God face to face, talked with him. He's the one that brought them their law, that brought them out of Egypt. Now, we have a resident scholar and a former Jewish boy with us here today. And so William, can you elaborate just briefly for us on Moses, how important he is to the Jewish people? 30 seconds. He's the ultimate figure in Judaism. And here this writer of Hebrews is like, Moses is great. But you know, Moses, he's like a really faithful servant in the house. But Jesus is faithful over the house as the son. And then he starts talking about how, you know, a builder gets more fame than the house that he builds. This is like in ancient Egypt, the pharaohs, they built these big, huge structures. And it's not because they just wanted to have these neat pyramids or these neat statues all over the place so that thousands of years later we could look at them and go, hey, good job, guys. No, they built them because they wanted to show their glory. They wanted to show how great they were. And when someone looked at that thing that had been built, they didn't go, oh yeah, that's a nice pyramid. What an amazing pyramid. They went, that pyramid that such and such Pharaoh built is so amazing. It is so great. And so he says, just as the builder of a house is greater than the house, God is ultimate because God created everything. He created the universe. And in Hebrews chapter 1, he'd already established that Jesus is God. That God is one person coexistent three persons coexistent in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We talked about how confusing that is in that week there, and how comforting for me it is that God is so confusing, because it means that I didn't make him up. But you see, Moses was this faithful guy. Faithful, I mean, compared to most humans, he's this amazing guy. And he brought this great revelation, but see, that revelation was something that was saying, look at what's coming. And then here comes Jesus, who's not a part of the house, but is actually over the house. God come to earth as a child, born of the Virgin Mary, lived among us, suffered among us, was tempted like one of us, but lived a sinless life and went to the cross at Calvary to pay the price for our sins as an innocent, and then rose again, defeating death, victorious over sin. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus that we need to believe in, this Jesus who is over all, over Moses, over the house. But you see something here. He talks about this house. And let me see if I can bring us up here to that house there. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house. The community of faith, those who believe, those who followed God in Israel, they were of his house. The Israelites were his house. And then when Jesus came, he established his church, his house, his bride on earth, and we are that house. And look what the author says. He says, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. We have to hold fast. We have to keep on going. We have to persevere. But there's a problem here. And the problem is that your heart easily drifts away from belief. Okay, one second, you'll just be on fire for God. You want to tell everyone about him. You want to do everything that you can to serve him, to make him proud, because you just love him and you're so thankful for the salvation that you have in him because of him. And then the next second, you're like, ooh, shiny. You just completely lose track of everything. And next thing you know, you're over here and Jesus, he's alongside you and he's like, what are you doing? Why are you over here? Come back to me. Don't you remember that your identity is in me, that I've saved you, that I love you? And right now, I just want to affirm to all of you here today that I think that we have this idea that when we do things wrong, that God is over here and our pile of junk is right here in between us and God, and it separates us from him. But you know, when we come to Jesus, he comes around to our side and he puts his arm around us and he says, let's go walk through this together. The problem is sometimes we look at him and we're like, yeah, okay, that's great, you're here, but you know, we kind of are like going like this a little bit. You know, that arm, does it need to be there? You know, I want to go that way. Because your heart, it easily drifts away from belief. If you isolate yourself, you easily will begin to drift away, because remember, our faith, it's fragile. As humans, we're fragile. And we can believe something, but understand that when we say that you need to believe in Jesus, we don't mean that, yeah, I believe that there's a Jesus. We mean that you need to believe in it in such a way that it affects the very fiber of your being. That it changes who you are. That is belief. It changes you. But your heart, it so easily drifts away. So easily drifts away. But that's what is so important. The author of Hebrews, he tells us that we need to encourage each other, that we need to build each other up, that we need that healthy community. And I understand that some of us here, or someone that's maybe listening online at home a little bit later on here, that they may have been hurt. You may have been hurt by people in the church. You may have experienced fellowship that was unfit. And you might have sworn it off for a time, or it might maybe difficult to come into a church because you're just like, what a bunch of hypocrites, and they're always going out of their way to hurt me. And I want you to know that the true community, that the true Christian fellowship is something that is healthy, that is whole, but we are broken people, and things go wrong. And sometimes there is a case for this fellowship. It's unhealthy. It's damaging. And sometimes there's a case for saying, I got to go somewhere else. But can I share with you that sometimes you also just need to stand your ground and say, I am going to provide health and encouragement in this place wherever I go. And allow that to spread. And allow that to build others up. And maybe, just maybe, if enough people are impacted by that, this fellowship, this community will become healthy and whole. But listen, we can't neglect meeting together. We can't neglect being together with other Christians. Now listen, I'm not talking about us going back 50 years where every day of the week there's something going on at the church and we all hide away and we don't address anything in the community because we're so afraid of getting stained and spoiled by the world. But what I'm talking about is that we make an effort to join together with like-minded believers so that we can encourage each other and lift each other up, because fit fellowship fuels our fragile faith. We need to gather together with other believers so that we don't end up like me with Firefly, wondering if it's actually not as good as I remember. Are you with me here today? You understand what I'm talking about? That we need to encourage each other. And listen, it's great to come to church and listen to me and be like, I got encouraged today. It's great to go to a community group and just go along with the discussion and sit back and listen to everything and go, wow, I was encouraged today. But there's something to be said about human relationship and interaction, about sticking around for a few minutes after service so that you can chat with people and get to know them, about talking during your community group so that you can get to know these people on a deeper level and encourage people. Because you see, as you encourage, you'll find that other people begin to encourage as well. It's interesting the way that that happens. So if you're here with me today and you're like, yes, you know, I believe that, Pastor Stephen, that fit fellowship fuels our fragile faith, then what I really want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to begin to encourage and challenge each other to greater faith. Now, understand here, encouraging and challenging each other requires that you actually know each other. It requires that we actually know your name. It requires that you get to hear people's story so that when you see them, you can say, you know what, I observed this thing about you today, or I heard your story today. I just want to encourage you in the situation that you're not alone. Or I just want to encourage you because that was amazing. Or here's one that we have a hard time with because we don't build close enough, deep enough relationships. I see that thing in your life and I'm concerned about you. Because, you know, I was there before. And it tore me apart and it drew me away from God. And listen, brother, listen, sister, I love you and I don't want to see that happen to you. And so I'm here to talk, but this thing is not right. You can't challenge someone on their faith if you don't know them in a deep way. I'm not talking about saying you're the horrible person and you deserve to die, die, die. Burn, burn, burn. I'm talking about lovingly challenging each other to greater faith. So begin to build those relationships. Begin to build a fit fellowship so that you can encourage and challenge each other to greater faith, to new heights of faith. Because I'm serious, as corny as it may sound, my alliteration, the reason I alliterate things is so that you can remember them. And I hope that you do, that fit fellowship fuels our fragile faith. And even if you just remember a segment of that, I hope that it will trigger something in you that encourages you to say that my faith is not something that is practiced in a vacuum, but it is something that is impacted by and impacts others. And that you will go out and begin to encourage and to challenge each other to greater faith. So will you just join with me today, bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to pray together this morning. And so, Lord God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we can gather together and we can be encouraged by others, that we can see them just working in our lives and changing us and challenging us. And I ask that you will help us to take that step to create genuine, deep relationships, Lord God, whether it's here on Sunday morning or in our community groups, Lord God, that we will not isolate ourselves from other believers, but that we will begin to see that encouragement coming our way, and that we will begin to build one another up in love. Because God, I know that you can do amazing things. And so we look forward to that, forward to seeing the way that you build up this congregation and this community as we encourage one another.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.